Good morning. Let's switch the climate from very winter to less than normal winter. So I will talk about new Nagican varieties, which we recently released in Florida. So this was a collaborative project between University of Florida, USDA, and BP. BP is British Petroleum. So there are some scientists here, myself and Dr. Gilbert, and they are from University of Florida. Dr. Comstock, Vanessa Garden, they are from USDA. Pedro Canfor, he was with the University of Florida before, and now he's with Florida Crystals, a sugar company over there. And Niall Elhout and Rebecca, they are from BP. Let's talk about what is an Nagican. An Nagican is it's genetically similar to sugarcane. They are from same species, same genus Saccharum, and there are different species of Saccharums: Saccharum officinatum, Saccharum robustum, Saccharum spontaneum. So you have to look like in sugarcane and Nagican, both are complex hybrid of these different Saccharum species. But in Nagican, we look for high fiber and low sucrose content, while in sugarcane, we bred it for high sucrose and low fiber concentration. So Saccharum officinatum is meant for high sucrose. In sugarcane breeding program, we backcross with Saccharum officinatum to make more sucrose in these varieties. But in Nagican, we don't look for more sucrose. We look for high fiber content. So as I said, it's a tripartite collaboration between University of Florida, USDA, and BP. So initial stages, crossing and seedling stage, they are conducted by USDA at Canal Point in Florida. And then it comes to University of Florida, where we evaluate these clones at stage 1, stage 2, and stage 3. These are the different stages of evaluation. And then it goes to BP, where they increase the seed for these varieties for their commercial cultivation. And also this is funded by BP, so they provide all the funding. I will talk briefly about the different stages of this breeding program. Initially, the crossing is between commercial, it can be commercial sugarcane hybrid with Saccharum spontaneum. Saccharum spontaneum is more grassy. It has very thin stalks, but a lot of stalks. High biomass and high fiber, but very low sucrose in it. So it can be commercial sugarcane hybrid cross with spontaneum, or it can be commercial sugarcane hybrid with another commercial sugarcane hybrid. That can also produce an Nagican. So here are a few examples. The first two genotypes here, their female parents are the commercial sugarcane hybrids, but their male parents are Saccharum spontaneum. While in the third one, both the parents are commercial sugarcane hybrids. In seedling stage, we normally plant 7,000 to 10,000 seedlings every year. And the seedlings, they are initially planted in the greenhouse flats, and then they are transplanted into the field. So we make selections based on biomass vigor and the diseases on the seedlings. Then they move to next stage, which is stage 1, where we have roughly 10% selection. So it's 700 to 1,000 clones. And they are planted in single stalk planting, which is 1.5 meter by 1.5 meter plot. Here in this picture, you can see this is each of that is one plot. That's in stage 1. And we have two replications at one location. And the selection criteria is same biomass vigor and disease ratings. So biomass vigor, we rate when the crop is almost 6 months old. We go in the field and rate them based on the biomass, total biomass. It's just a visual selection, but it's we rate it from 0 to 10. 0 is there's nothing in there, and 10 is the highest biomass. So 5 is the medium. So anything below that, we rate it 4, 3, 2, 1, and anything higher towards 10. In stage 2, we have 70 to 100 clones, and they are planted in bigger plots with 5 meter by 2 rows wide. You can look at the plot over here. Each of these are different plots, so each plot has two rows. There are three locations for each of that, with two reps at each location, and the selection criteria in this, we also estimate the fresh biomass and then biomass vigor ratings and diseases. In stage three, we have 15 to 20 clones, and they are in 8 meter by 3 rows wide plots. And then we have 4 applications at 3 different locations. And the selection criteria in this one is dry biomass, breaks, vigor ratings, diseases, and stock composition. We also estimate the fiber composition in these stocks. So at increases, we just put them in commercially harvestable plots and then look for diseases if there is any disease. So at stage three, we look at these clones for 2 to 3 years. First year is plant cane, and then it's first ratoon and second ratoon. So after that, it goes to final approval for the releases. So this is just a setup of one of our test locations. This is stage one here. You can see there is a lot of variability in the plots. So it's each stool is one plot. And then in the back here in stage two, we have 2 rows wide plots. And in stage three, we have bigger plots. It's 3 rows wide, and there are side-by-side plots here. So what are the major diseases which we look at? SMUT is the most important disease in sugarcane, not in sugarcane, but in energy cane. We also see this disease in sugarcane, but it's not as severe as in energy cane. So SMUT is caused by fungus, Sporosorium centamini, and it's a black sorus-like growth from the terminal meristem. And if it's severe, it can kill the whole stool of that plant. And if the whole stool is killed, then it can affects biomass in plant crop. And then in the following ratoons, you can see the gaps in the field, because that was killed by SMUT in plant cane. Then we also have rust. We have brown and orange rust. They are very, very common diseases on sugar cane. We don't see much on energy cane, but these are the other important diseases which we are looking for both in the field. And then we have sugarcane mosaic, which is a virus disease. And there is green and yellow islands on the leaf, and it can reduce the photosynthesis and can cause reduction in biomass yield. And then there is a leaf scald, which is a bacterial disease. There is a thin pencil line on the leaf, but when it's severe, it causes necrosis in the leaves and it can cause a yield loss. To estimate fresh biomass yield, we harvest the middle row, 3 meter length of the middle row, and then we collect all the biomass in a tarp, and then we weigh it by the hanging scale. And to estimate dry biomass and the fiber composition, we take 10 stock samples from each plot. Then we disintegrate that with a disintegrator. And then we press it through the with the hydraulic press to take the juice out of it. And then we measure juice percentage, breaks percentage, fiber percent, and moisture content. To estimate moisture content, we dry that. We dry all this material at 60 degrees centigrade in the dry room. So these are the commercial sugarcane varieties which we recently released. These are the 5 cultivars which we released, and they are public releases. They have a UFCP in their name, UF University of Florida, CP is Canal Point. Then 74 is the crossing year. So they were crossed way back for the frost tolerance and cold tolerance, but then they were evaluated starting in 2007 and 2008. We started evaluating them in different field conditions at different locations in Florida. So all these varieties were tested on 3 sand locations, one muck location. Muck is the high organic matter soil, which has organic matter more than 60% or 70%. Then data were collected on disease infestation, biomass yield, and plant composition. So here we have a smut infection. So at on y-axis we have smut whips per 10 meters square of area, and along x-axis we have different varieties. So L79-1002 was the only energy cane variety which was released at that time, and we used that as a check in our breeding program. So all the varieties which we released in Florida, they had significantly lower smut infection than the check at all the locations. Then we also took some disease data on through artificial inoculation tests at USDA. So we used different checks to compare. L79-1002 was a check for smut, then CP80-1743. It's our commercial sugarcane variety that was for leaf scald, and CP72-86 for mosaic, and CP78-1628 is also for smut. So all these commercial sugarcane varieties, they still have the infection of these diseases, but they are our commercial clones, and they have that acceptable level of infection of different diseases. So in smut, it's like all the clones were still lower than L79-1002. In leaf scald, all the clones were had less infection than 1743, and we didn't see any mosaic in any of these released varieties. So when we looked at the total biomass, that's a dry biomass. Citra, Likes Brothers, and Tecan, they were the three sand locations, and we are primarily focused on sand location. We had only 1 year data from muck location, which was 960 farm. So all our varieties were ranked higher than the check, but there was no significant difference at Citra and Tecan. We had one of our clone was significantly better than the check at Likes Brothers, but still they were like 10 to 13%. They had 10 to 13% higher dry biomass than the check. At muck location, we didn't see any significant difference, but some of the clones were lower than L79-1002. But this was only 1 year data. Normally, the smut infestation in this check, L79-1002, can cause yield decline in the ratoon crops. But we didn't look for ratoon crop in this one, because we were primarily focused on sand locations. We also looked for fiber composition data, so we didn't see any difference for cellulose, hemicellulose, or lignin or ash content between the varieties we released or L79-1002. And even the ideal fiber composition, which was given by Kim and Day, they were similar to what we have in our cultivars. So in summary, smut incidence in all the released varieties was significantly lower than L79-1002. Dry biomass yield, these varieties were ranked higher, but there was no significant difference at some of the locations. Fiber composition, we didn't see any significant difference between the check and the released varieties. So based on this multi-location and multi-year yield and disease data, we recommended these varieties for sandland locations in Florida. So I would like to acknowledge the other research scientists who worked on this from UF, USDA, and BP, and also funding from BP. Thank you very much.
We have time for one question.
Yes.
You said that your energy cane, the sugar content, twigs in the stem is a low.
Mm-hmm.
How low was it? We do the same, not same, similar, you know, study with energy cane.
Yeah.
But sometimes the basis is about 3 cell juice level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bricks on these clones were around 9, so 9 or maximum 10. But in sugarcane, we have more than that. We have 13 or 14 or even up. Our bricks goes up to 19 or 20. It depends on which soil type you are using. On sandy soil, it can go a little higher than the the high input muck soils or organic soils. But they were like 9 or 10 with the bricks.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.